man isn't always a physical thing. That's coming up next on this special edition of The Right Stuff. Of the Queen Parker J is here. Thank you so much for joining me. We're going to have a fantastic time as I talk to my guest co-host and contributor, Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Womb, which is book one of the Redemption series. I definitely want to thank Rhonda McKnight for the connection. I happened to see Denise's book on her timeline, and then I also saw Piper Hughley share. And as soon as I saw it, I said, she has to be on my show. So Denise was so gracious enough to come onto the show so we can showcase her book, Barren Womb. You can get it on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It just released last month. So go ahead, pick up your copy and let her know what you thought about it. We do want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. If you as an author want to know how to build your readership, go to christianbookclub.net and see how they can help you. We also want to thank our partner, Readio App. Readio App is an app solely dedicated to uploading books that magnify the Most High God, whether fiction or nonfiction. To find out how you can have your book uploaded onto Readio, go to readioapp.com. We also have a special invitation for nonfiction Christian authors. Readio has decided to partner with the Christian Convict Book Club to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. As a corporate contributor, Readio supports this vision and is inviting you, the nonfiction Christian author, to do the same. To know more information, all you have to do is go to readioapp.com/ccbc_author.html. That is the direct link to find out how you as a Christian nonfiction author can support this wonderful ministry. I also want to thank those of you who have showed an interest in my newest release, set to come out November 17th. It is called The Butterscotch Bride. It is set in pre-Civil War Alabama. I'm very excited about it, really getting lots of good anticipation for the book, and I thank you so much for that. You can get a pre-order copy of it. Again, it's available on Amazon.com. And finally, my last announcement is that I have officially become a member of SpeculativeFaith.com's regular contributing team to Speculative Faith. My first article that I talked about today, I talked about how recent horror films talk about the evil child trope. And some of you know I do like to look at my horror, my monster movies, things of that nature. So go ahead, go to SpeculativeFaith.com and you can see that new article there. And I would love to know your thoughts about it. It's kind of interesting writing as a blogger as opposed to an author because I have to truncate my thoughts in a readable format that you all can enjoy, as well as be very concise about what I'm going to say. So it's going to be an interesting learning curve, but I definitely want to thank the folks at SpeculativeFaith.com for the opportunity to write with them. I've been a huge supporter of theirs for many years. Now to be a part of the team, it makes me feel really good. As always, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to this special edition of The Rights with the Queen on WPJC 104.5. Thank you so much for joining me as I chat with my guest co-host and contributor today, Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Womb. It is book one of the Redemption series. I can't wait to dig into the story with her. So without further ado, let me bring her on. Denise, how are you doing today?
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm doing awesome.
I am so glad you took time out of your schedule to be with me today. Really appreciate the help and cannot wait to let our listeners know all about you as a writer, your backstory, what you feel comfortable about telling us, and about this book, Barren Wound. I particularly like the cover of the book because you allude to something more than just being barren regarding fertility, but something more. We're going to delve into that as we get further on into this book. But as always, I always like to give our listeners an opportunity to know who you are. So go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a wife of 21 years. I'm a mother of my son is 16 years old. And that's a part of that testimony. And I'm an educator. This is my 21st year. I spent most of my career teaching middle school students, and right now I teach fifth grade. And I'm an entrepreneur of the past 5 years as well. I'm the editor of mostly children's books and nonfiction, devotional, things like that. And I'm also, of course, a writer and a writing coach. And I'm also an ordained minister that for the past 2 years, and a podcaster of Hope in Christ with Denise as well, and also an author. This is my sixth, Barren Womb is actually my sixth book. And so that's a little bit about me.
It's awesome. Do you want me to refer to you by your pastoral title? Is it Reverend, Bishop? What is it?
Oh, no, that's fine. You can just call me.
Oh, okay.
That's fine.
Okay, I always want to give honor to whom honor is due, so never want to take that for granted at all. I like the fact that you said that your son is a part of your testimony, and that's something that is interwoven in this book, Barren Womb, again, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And some of the other things you mentioned that you're a teacher, and as a teacher, I cannot even begin to wonder how you guys handle the stress of today's youth, particularly in this pandemic where teachers have had to, as usual, overhaul and ways to teach their students in insurmountable odds. So tell us, how has that experience been for you just this year being a teacher? More than likely, you're probably virtual, I'm assuming. I mean, it may not be, but tell us how that's been for you.
Actually, it has been a little stressful, not because of the students. The kids are actually doing well. To have been online since actually I think it was March. That's when we ended up going online, and then we began this school year online, and they're actually doing pretty well. But it's the demands that have not changed for us, even though we're online. And from teaching virtually, we still have to basically teach like we would be in a building, and it's kind of difficult, but the kids are actually doing pretty well.
Well, that's a light in the tunnel, as they say. But I'm assuming you guys should be getting paid the millions of dollars, not the sports figures. That's the only thing. You guys should be up there getting $400 million deals instead of people catching a ball, you know, because God bless you. And I'm always thankful to teachers. I remember my teacher, her name was Miss Gregg. She is the one who unlocked the gem of being a writer. Even though I always knew I would be a writer since I was a very young child, I remember being in sixth grade and Miss Gregg gave us words that we had to use in the story. And I used all those words in the story and people enjoyed them. The kids enjoyed them. She enjoyed it. And that's how that path started. So I always thank Miss Gregg for just opening that mind. And teachers are such a wonderful part of a child's learning development. And, you know, I want to congratulate you for what you're doing because you've been doing it now for 20-something years, you said, 21 years, you said. So, you know, that's a lot of experience come with that. So as you look back on 21 years of teaching and you look at what it is now, what are some of the obstacles that maybe you did not have 20 years ago that you have now, or what are some of the things that are better now than 20 years ago? I'm just curious.
I would actually say for both answers, technology. So we didn't have technology as much last, 21 years ago. We didn't have what we have now, and it was more personal, I guess. So that's what made it better, where the kids had to write things out versus we use, you know, a program on the computer now. But I would also say that technology is probably one of the hindrances for the kids, especially in writing, because they text each other and they want to write the same way that they text each other, or they see, you know, they may have grammar errors when they are talking online and they transfer it over to class. And so I think that's one of the hard things. And then they're very into social things and gaming, and so it's hard to keep their attention. Their attention span seems to be shorter than it used to be.
Interesting that you said that, because I remember someone telling me that they were grading papers with like THX, you know, and it's like, what is that? That's not a word. It's an acronym. We know what you're trying to say, but you're doing a professional paper. That's not the kind of word you want to use. So yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying about how technology, both a help and a hindrance, probably more a hindrance because you said it does put that distance between you. And there has been talk about the lack of interpersonal skills that the youth that are coming up with now don't have because they don't really interact like we used to do. But that was fascinating listening to your talk. So I just wanted to get just a little bit more behind the scenes with you. So tell us a little bit about your writing journey. When did you know that this was going to be what God would have you to do?
Actually, I didn't. I actually did not realize that God until 2015, when God began to lay on my heart to build a blog. And before that, I had journals, and I was just writing journals. I would write in my phone, and so I just loved writing. Even when I was in college, I remember my professors telling me that I just, when I would write, they just enjoyed reading my writing. And I knew I loved things like children's literature when I was in school, and anything that had to do with writing books or books themselves, I just enjoyed it. But I never saw myself or never heard God say anything about, well, maybe I wasn't listening, about writing until 2015, when I felt God telling me to start the Hope in Christ blog. And that's when I started. I took out all of the devotionals basically I had written and I put them on the blog, and that's when I just started unfolding with writing from that point.
Isn't that amazing how the Lord does things? It's amazing how he does it. You're like, oh, I didn't see it coming. I like how you said, I didn't see it coming. So I know in some of the, when I was researching you online, you also have other books besides this available. A couple of those books are geared toward young adults. Tell us about those young adults books, because I know there are parents looking for literature that they can share with their teen or with their tween, as they say. Tell us about those books really quick. I know we can't go too deep into it, but I would love to give those parents listening an opportunity to know about those books that you've written as well.
Well, I do have two teen girl books, and actually in those books, Hannah is the character. And so those are kind of the when she was younger and kind of that backstory. And I wrote those back in, I wrote Hannah's Hope, which is the first one, back in 2017 and published it. And then I wrote Hannah's Heart because I wanted to show, even from the youth, I've been in middle school for many years, and I saw what young girls were feeling because they showed it in their lashing out, and you know, to their peers, and so I began to write those teen girls books then. And then I also have Representing God, which is my first book. It's actually a journal, and it's a journal on the deity of Christ where they just kind of do some English strategies and a lot of activities, and then they come to the understanding of Christ's deity. And then I have Is This English Class or Bible Study, and that's another journal/workbook that has a lot of English strategies, but they're used to read when you're reading the Bible. And so I flipped teaching English class, and I started creating strategies for reading scripture.
I'm surprised because just when you said that, I wasn't even really aware that there would be a need for that. And that's actually a good way to do it. So for our parents out there, these are books that you can get from Denise that are available to you that you can share with your young teen girl. And I didn't know this until you said it, Denise, probably just from reading this story. I didn't know that the teen books had Hannah, who's our main character in the book we're highlighting tonight. So that's really cool. I find that quite a good marketing strategy too. Yeah, that's pretty good, Denise. I like that. So we're talking about a little bit more about you. So one of the is why I ask about your writing process is because we have aspiring authors who listen in, and they may say, I don't know how to get started with writing. So I always ask about your writing process because we want to know what do you do, and maybe what you do is something that they can copy and mimic. So tell us a little bit about that writing process.
My writing process, actually, when I first started writing, I just grabbed a computer and started typing. To be totally honest, that's what I started doing. But now I begin to outline what I want to write, especially with fiction. I have to be very, very careful because the holes have to be filled in and the scenes and everything. So I do outline the chapters, and I outline the overall story, what do I want the theme to be, and whose POV it's going to be in. And so that actually takes me a little bit longer than when I create the journals. The journals are actually done where I just write out the strategies. I write them out in notebooks, and then I put them in Microsoft Word and actually put it all together. And then our formatter, after editing, our formatter does the formatting for it. So my process is different for the fiction. It actually takes me much longer for fiction than with my nonfiction because there's so many moving parts for the fiction. So that's my process.
And it seems like a very good one because, like, you're a teacher, so you're used to planning and getting that all out there. I kind of laugh when you say, I just picked up a computer and start typing. Like, this is my process. This is my genesis. That's how it happened. Sometimes you just have to do it. That's the thing. You just have to do it. And I tell people that all the time. They say, I want to write a book. I said, then do it. You have to start. And I remember, and I've said this quote many times on the show, that 80% of people who start a book won't finish it, 10% do, and then the other 10% got abducted by aliens or something because they just dropped out the equation. And so when you look at the barriers of what is stopping you from writing a book, it could be time, financial, personal things like doubts, things of that nature, but it all adds up to me. I am the one who is the barrier me writing and finishing that book. So that's why I want you to share that, Denise, so other people can know, hey, this is how Denise did it. Guess what? I can do it too. And for those of you listening in, we are talking to Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Womb, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's book one of the Redemption series. You can go ahead and pick up your copy today. Just released last month. Really excited to have Denise on with us. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking to her about the book itself, delving into this multi-layered story that everyone will relate to. You can weigh in on our conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right. Stop with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to this special edition of The Right Stuff on WPJC 104.5, talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Wound, which is book one of the Redemption series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Before the break, we learned that Denise is a wife, she's a mother, she's a teacher, she's a podcaster, author, coach, nonfiction writer, devotional, and lots of other things too. So you're kind of surprised, how do you do all this, Denise? I think it's because she knows how to plan, because as a teacher, she knows how to get it done. And it's been just wonderful talking to her. Now we're going to delve into the story itself, Barren Wound. And once again, Denise, thank you so much for being with me. Want to definitely give our listeners an opportunity to know what Barren Wound is about. So without giving us any spoilers, tell us about Barren Wound.
Well, Barren Wound is about a young lady, Hannah Monroe. Her name is Hannah Monroe in the other books, but she's Hannah Jefferson now. And she's just every day, she's a teacher, and so she wants to just have what everybody else has, which is just have a happy life. And as time progresses, she experiences something tragic, and it all comes, I would say, comes crashing down with her past. And so she's now trying to deal with what happened in her past to what's going on in her present. And being able to overcome those things so she can be productive, so she can be what God called her to be, and also leading her. The overall overarching theme is having to help us understand that everything is centered around getting to Christ and giving everything that we feel broken about, giving it over to Christ. And so that's basically the overall theme of the book. And so that's a little bit about Darren Wong.
The thing that you mentioned that I'm pretty sure other people realize is that most of us just want to live our lives. We want what everyone else has, which doesn't mean we want the fancy cars, the big house, millions of dollars in the bank. We won't sniff our nose up at it. That's not what we want. We just want to have a happy life. We don't mind the ups and downs of life. We just want to have it. And when something tragic prevents you from having that happy life, you can get devastated and depressed about it. And Hannah has gone through a lot, as you find out in the story. Her past is part of her present. And when you go into certain things about the past is extremely hurtful. And one thing that Hannah says, she's like, what did I do to have this type of life? Why do you think, Denise, we internalize when bad things happen to us that it's our fault?
Actually, I would say, and that was actually one of my thoughts when I was growing up. What did I do wrong, even as going into adulthood? And I believe it's because sometimes we put God in the same place as people. So we see God as the way a person may have treated us, or the way of the, or the way, you know, just somebody who, in general, what they have, how they treated us. And so we begin to believe somehow that God is punishing us instead of life happens and God can get us through it. Sometimes we begin to believe that somehow God is punishing us. And so that was one of my thoughts. And so I just incorporated it in the story.
I think that's a natural tendency for all of us, though, too, is if something is bad in my life, it's obviously my fault. And I like how you said life happens, because if it didn't happen, we'd be in fishbowls just looking around at the fake castle and the pebbles on the back, on the bottom of the bowl. And life isn't like that. It's very active all around us, particularly when you're dealing with things that make up who you are. And some people, they look at their past and they wish they could rip it from their body. Whatever hurts they did, whatever wrongs they committed, whatever was done against them, they wish they could just rip it away. But what is it about our past that we need to embrace, and why should we embrace the bad things that happened to us in our past?
I'd say the things that we have to, I wouldn't say necessarily embrace, but I would say deal with. The things of our past, because if we don't deal with those things of our past, it affects our present. And we have to, because the Bible says that we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so if in order for someone else to be free, we have to, you know, recognize that this is a testimony that God is bringing us through, and so that somebody else can also come through that. So we have to embrace the pain or deal with the pain and allow God to heal us in that pain, but also say, okay, yes, this happened. Now, God, what do you want me to do with it? And so that was one of my, actually one of my struggles, because I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to write about it. I didn't want to deal with it at all. And I know now that there's women and there's girls that are able to deal with it themselves, because I was brave enough to deal with it. So I believe that's why. So that people can say, man, I can be brave too, and I can walk through this and allow God to help me so that I can be free and then somebody else can be set free as well.
Amen. There are some people who don't want to be set free. I remember hearing that a few months back. Some people don't want to be set free, but all who do, to see you coming out in victory should be an inspiration to others. And with Hannah, she deals with layered pain that so many of us can relate to. In particular with Hannah, she says at one point in the book, she said, this is my life. This is what happened to me. Why does this stuff always happen to me? And I couldn't blame her, because she really did have a hard life. But at the beginning of the story, she's in the church and she's about to tell her testimony in church. And I have to say this, Denise, I go to a mega church now, but when I was reading the church scenes in this book, it brought me back home to my childhood, because I can see all these women in my head reflected from childhood in the story. So kudos to you for that, because you took me back home to the church I used to go to. So thanks so much. But and you can see all the women just supporting her and letting her know that by talking about the pain, you're actually healing yourself. So that gives me my next question about words. I know words are very powerful, but you also said when we were talking before the broadcast that words are able to heal you because you're sharing them with someone. I think I may have said it wrong, so go ahead and correct me where I'm wrong at, Denise.
No, you said it right. Yes, the when we're writing, a lot of times what I found, and for those that are listening, I found that it was very difficult to begin writing, but when I began writing, as the words flowed off the page, either on my computer or in a notebook, the healing, I felt weights lifted off of me. And so a lot of times when, for those people that say, I don't want to write, or they don't believe they can do it, or if God is telling them to write, sometimes we don't want to write because of the fear. And so when we deal with it in writing, a lot of times that's healing. I call that free therapy. Because for me, my writing has been free therapy for me. It's really helped me to heal places I didn't even know I needed healing. And so that's just one of the things that I'm appreciative of, because I don't think if I would have not written, I probably would still be in the same mindset, or in, you know, still in the same situation of just not healing in my heart. So I believe words are healing. Our words are healing, not just for us, but for other people.
Another aspect of this story is with Christian fiction, you do want to be more realistic in your approach. And I know for a fact that stories like this that speak to real issues are needed within the industry. Not to say, and I've said this many times, that there's nothing wrong with some of the easier and more the fiction that very happy, not real deep or anything. Nothing, not that there's nothing wrong with that. Some people do not want to be in the real world because they do want to escape. But you were saying too that it's important to touch on these real issues for the simple fact that our words can be healing. And with Hannah, she mentions in the book a famous Christian author, most of us know her, Francine Rivers, and she mentions the book Redeeming Love. And most people just hearing Francine Rivers' name and that book say how good the book is. Most people like it. There are some who don't, but you can't please everybody, right, Denise? So we can't worry about that. But she talks about the book, and it's actually an integral part of her own story within Barren Womb. Now, one of the things I want to touch on too before we go to our next break, I want to touch on the supporting cast of characters, because Hannah realizes that she's not alone, and these cast of characters are there to help her. Why is it so important for people to seek help when they're dealing with unresolved issues or past trauma that they can't get away from?
I think it's important for us as human beings to seek help, because we sometimes can't see everything ourselves. So maybe we deny what's happening, but you have that person that you know loves you, that's going to tell you the truth, and that you can trust them that it won't go anywhere else. And so I believe it's important that we talk to people and we open up, because, again, I believe that's part of the healing process too, because when you're holding things in, we know that research shows people can be, you know, sickness, physical sickness can come on to people, but also we'll never get past that wall that we put up otherwise. Also, even though Hannah had the love surrounding her, she still felt alone. So sometimes we could have those people surrounding us and still feel alone. And so it's important that we still, even though we feel alone, we're able to voice how we feel and still have those people that love us enough to come in, even if they have to drag us off the couch and open up the curtains because we don't want to, we just don't want to get out of bed. We have those, that support there for us.
As you were talking, I was thinking about that show Hoarders. And in Hoarders, every time I watch that show, I just want to clean my house. You know what I mean? I just want to clean the house. I don't ever want to see those people at my house. But I was thinking about how what you just said about not getting the healing because we don't want to think about it. It's almost like spiritual hoarding. We're hoarding our past trauma. We're hoarding our past hurts. We're hoarding the negativity, everything else that goes along with it. And just as you were saying that, that image came to mind, and that's how some people can be spiritual hoarders. I think I'm going to simmer on that because that's a really interesting idea. When we come back from the break, we're going to be discussing more about Barren Womb as we start to delve into some more of the themes that Denise put in the book, as well as hear her share with us an excerpt from Barren Womb. And you can get your copy today by going to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. You still have an opportunity to call in by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stop with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Sofa Talk podcast will consider Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals, which deal with all of the things that we are fearful and anxious of, like job, family, and our country. Plus, we will take your prayer requests. Join us on upcoming episodes Monday through Friday for Sofa Talk at anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard. That's anchor.fm/Russell-Sherard.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to a special edition of The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. I'm talking to my guest co-host and contributor today, Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Womb, which is available on Amazon.com, and it's book one of the Redemption series. So make sure you go ahead, love on my sister, and get a copy of the book today. I'm really enjoying our conversation with Denise because she's really digging to a lot of the layered backstory of our character without giving away too much. And so what Denise is going to do, she's going to go ahead and read an excerpt from Barren Womb, and then we're going to come back and discuss it. So Denise, whenever you're ready, go ahead, set us up with where we are at in the story, and I'm going to go ahead, mute myself, and you can take it from there.
Okay, thank you. I'm in chapter 7 of Barren Womb. Not just read, just a short excerpt. This is, again, chapter 7, and it says, Monday, August 31st. After the most trying 2 weeks of her life, Hannah returned to her classroom. She went at the pain from the menstrual cramps she once again had to endure. Her cycle was back with a vengeance. Hannah had her large bottle of Midol in her purse she had taken to earlier. Now she hoped the pain would go away so she could make it through this day. While at home, she began researching the different endometriosis treatments to make her feel better. She had called to make an appointment with a few of the infertility specialists on the list Dr. Seren's receptionist had given her. They were all booked for weeks. She went ahead and scheduled an appointment at Dr. Calhoun's office. Hannah only chose her because she was a woman, which made her more comfortable. She couldn't get in until October. In the meantime, Hannah plans to become more knowledgeable of the condition and the treatment. So far, she was reading about progesterone, a treatment that was supposed to relieve the symptoms by suppressing the endometriosis growth. She was considering trying it, but wanted to do more research first. Hannah had a Zoom call with her brother Malik on Saturday. He was checking up on her. She found herself crying as she sat talking to him. He was a man now, and she was so proud of him. Hannah told him not to worry about her. She would be fine. But the truth was, she was scared. There was no cure for endometriosis, and some of the side effects she had read for some of the treatments were not really encouraging. She felt she was too young to be trying to make these kinds of decisions that could affect her future.
And that is an excerpt from Barren Wound, which is book one of the Redemption series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. What I like about that particular excerpt is that it lets us know what's going on in her life. And when you said my doll, for some reason, again, being a woman, I totally resonate with that because of my whole, I'm a female, so I have menstrual and all that kind of good stuff. I won't get into that because we do have male listeners. We won't get into all that, but I was thinking mine is Motrin. I used to take Motrin all the time. But just that relatability there, because that's something you don't really talk about in Christian fiction. Just something that simple, that basic, that real isn't usually mentioned in a lot of Christian fiction. So I'm really glad that you took up the banner to do that. Plus, when you're talking about this particular condition, endometriosis, which is affecting a lot of women today, and I was really intrigued about how the way you introduced some of the research you may have done, but you did it in such a way that it's not a medical pamphlet. You're just learning along with Hannah about this condition. So my question would be, and you can be as transparent as you like, how much of this is semi-autobiographical when it comes to dealing with this kind of issue?
Well, actually, that part is true. I still struggle with endometriosis now, and I think when I was mentioning to you earlier that my son was part of that testimony, it's because I was, you know, that part of the story about being told you know, you couldn't have any more children or possibly not have any more children or get pregnant, rather. That was me. And endometriosis, actually, I did a lot of research on endometriosis, and I did not realize there's so much more to it than just it causing infertility. It also, for me, in 2016, just to be transparent, I did have a partial hysterectomy because the endometriosis was not just in my covering my ovaries, but it actually had attached itself to my bowels and my bladder. And so the doctor says, they describe it as scar tissue that displaces itself. And the way the doctor explained it to me was my uterus was filled with it, and so it was covering where my bowels and my bladder was attached to my uterus. And so I had to have that surgery, and I was in surgery probably for about 5 hours or more because the doctor said it was so much of it, and if they would have cut the wrong way, there would have been, you know, would have been a more serious thing. So endometriosis is people, and it is a condition that more and more people are diagnosed with. I was trying to find out, where does it come from? There's not a lot of research that tells where it comes from, but it's my doctor, my OBGYN, explained that when you have surgeries, the scar tissue from the surgery cover, you know, other parts of your organs. And so they think that's part of it, because I remember the only surgery I can remember is when I was even an infant, but my stomach was cut open when I was an infant because I couldn't, I couldn't digest. And so, and the doctor said it, you know, the scar tissue grew and grew as I got older. And so they think that's part of it, but I think they're kind of guessing the endometriosis, but it does cause infertility. But and I always say that because I look at my son and I say, God can do anything, you know. And so because I was told the same thing, and my husband and I were told the same thing, and our son is 16. So, you know, I just believe God can work any miracle. He can do anything but fail. So I just wanted to share that part.
And I'm glad you did, because that underpins the story of barren womb. So you're not just coming from a place of spiritual barrenness. You have been told that you were barren. And I know that could be such a help to our listeners out there who may be dealing with the same thing. And that's why I love when authors go from their personal experience and interweave it into a narrative that people can really relate to. And like I said, as you read the story, it doesn't read like a pamphlet. It reads as if we're following Hannah along on her journey. And I love the fact how you said, God cannot fail, even when it seems that he has already failed. Because there's another testimony within the context of the story, and I'm not giving anything away, but another character in the story also was told that they could not have a child, but the Lord answered her prayer in a very unique way. And when that happened, it lets you know that the Lord is very cognizant of what's going on in our lives. And I think that's why in barren womb, as you follow this story of Hannah, you are going with the lows with her, you're going with the highs with her. And I love her support team. I love her husband. I love the way you described him, Denise, because as I was reading, I could see him. He's right in front of me. I know exactly how he looks. And I thought that was very handsome. I can tell he's very handsome. And I just love the whole family dynamic of this story. And so you were saying earlier that the readers have responded really favorably toward barren womb. What has been some of those responses that you can share with us?
Well, one of the reviews that a lady left me was that she, as she read the story, she realized that she had some barren place spiritually. And it helped her to understand it, and it kind of helped her to get through, like she was addressing whatever it was. And I told her that I want to do something more than just reading the book. I want to do a workshop. And she said she would love to be a part of it. That was one person. And then there was the older, she's a pastor, and she read it, and she said she just, you know, saw the heart of God, because there's so many women and girls that are hurting, and that, you know, basically the same thing. Nobody's really talking about it, but it's a reality. So that was a couple comments I got from, I've been getting messages and saying thank you for writing the book, because it's needed, the physical side of it and also the spiritual side of it.
Particularly when you said that barren isn't just physical, it's spiritual too. And that actually shows up in the book as well, because Hannah struggles with trusting God. She believes in him, but she has a hard time just trusting him because of everything that happened in her life. And so many people are talking to her throughout the story, telling her to let the Lord in and let him walk you through it. A couple of times that was said in the book. I also love how you said earlier in the broadcast, as well as in the book, you say God is not people. People is not God. I love that, because there are people who put the persona of whoever it was that hurt them in whatever way, and they put that on God, and that is not him. And I think that's a very valid point that you made within the book that people also are probably resonating with as well. And so if people want to get in contact with you, Denise, via your social media outlets, where can they find you online?
I'm on Facebook at Author Denise M. Walker, and I'm also on Instagram at Author Denise M. Walker. And I'm also on Twitter, and when I use it sometimes, at Author Denise, and what's the other one, LinkedIn. I'm also on there as well. And you can also email me if you have any questions or anything. You can email me at info@denisemwalker.com. And my website also is www.denisemwalker.com. And you can purchase my books. You can sign up for my newsletter. And my books are also located on Amazon and also other, you know, wherever books are sold, and Books A Million, and also Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, so they're in different places. And so that's a little bit of how you can reach out to me and connect with me. And also my ministry is Hope in Christ Ministries, and I do have a fan page on Facebook. And the vision of Hope in Christ has to do with healing, people healing and finding their hope in Christ. And so that's the Facebook fan page. And also, if you would like to write a blog post for Hope in Christ, you can reach out to me at denise@hope-in-christ.com. And so those are just some of the avenues you can reach me.
Tell us about your podcast as well.
My podcast is Hope in Christ with Denise. And what I do is I'm revamping it in November, but each week is a letter that represents the word hope. So hope is healthy, overcomers, purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective. And so the first week, there will be a topic about a healthy topic, a healthy conversation about dealing with spiritual things that hinder us from walking in purpose. So that's the first week that Hope in Christ airs. And then the second week will be overcomers, so someone could share a testimony of how God brought them through something. And then the P is purpose, so there's people that are interviewed, like authors and ministers and different people like that. And then eternal perspective is when I teach from the podcast. So I'll teach or I'll give some biblical literacy strategies from the podcast. So those are the weeks for Hope in Christ with Denise.
I like that format. You know, it really gives a nice variety, and people have an opportunity to get what they need on a particular week in a different way. So that's a great idea. Very excited that you're doing that, and let me know how I can help you. I'd love to play your ad on the show. We could talk about that offline, but definitely want to support you in that endeavor. So that sounds really exciting. Very glad that you're doing that. I'm always happy to support Christian podcasters because they need it. We need to have our own content too in the midst of a lot of bad content out there. We have our own. So very excited for you doing that, Denise. I have to say, I'm always so excited when I just see a lot of good things happening. And I know for a fact that you have other books and other projects going on. What are some of those other book projects that you're working on right now?
I'm actually working on the outline for the second book to bear in womb, with the second book in the Redemption series, of which just one of the kind of sneak peeks is her mom is centered around the second book. So I'm excited about how that book is going to play out. And so I'm working on that, and I'm working on my next journal/workbook. Is this English class or Bible study? It'll be book two of there's 20 strategies that I create, and I can do workshops for it, or people get it, and then as they're studying the Bible, they use the different strategies. So I'm working on those two things, and I'm also working on a proposal because I'm an indie published author, but I'm working on a proposal for a traditional publisher. So I'm working on that. I'm praying that, you know, that works out for a fiction book. So I'm excited about that as well. So I have a lot that I'm working on as well as still teaching. So lots of prayers are needed for me.
Amen. There is nothing wrong with being busy doing your dream and doing what God called you to in his purpose. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I hope success for you, because for the traditional publisher, I'm a hybrid author myself. I do indie works and I have traditionally published works as well. So I'm hoping that you get the contract or the proposal, whatever, that God has for you. Hoping that works out for you. Denise, on the few moments you have left, I would love for you to encourage our would-be authors out there whom God has given the gift to write, to pick up the pen and do so.
To whoever wants to write, it's on your heart and you can't shake it and it's still in your head over and over, and every time, like I was, every time I would wake up, I would hear God telling me to do it. If that's you, I would say do it afraid. I always say that to even people I coach, do it afraid, because as long as you don't move, it's never going to happen. It's never going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen, but you have to keep moving. Even if you write 10 words a day, you wrote something. But I would say, I always say this, do it afraid, because that was me. I was afraid at first. I didn't even know half of the process of writing, but I did it, and God sent everything that I needed. And so I'm saying to those that are listening, he's going to send what you need. He just wants you to obey. He has everything else under control. He just wants you to obey so that you can move in the purpose that he has for you.
Interesting that you said do it afraid, because someone else this week said do it scared, do it trembling, do it with your stomach in knots. Do it with your breath shaking and your throat, and your throat's dry. You can't get any saliva. Do it scared, because the fact is you did it. And particularly when the Lord is calling you to do it, he's going to give you what you need. I just had to underpin that, Denise, because that is something that's going to speak to someone out there. And Denise, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show today. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless you. Thank you for allowing me to come on. I'm so excited, and I can't wait to come back.
And we were talking today to Denise Walker. She is the author of the book Barren Womb, which is book one of the Redemption series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I really enjoyed talking to Denise. She actually told us some things that are so highly relatable about going through pain, about letting the Lord walk you through pain, about making us know that the Lord is not people, and to stop putting people's personas on a holy God. You don't have to keep doing that. She talked a lot about that, and a lot about that is in her book, Barren Womb, so pick it up. And she also talked about being barren, not just physically, but spiritually too. Are you barren in your spiritual walk with Christ? Is something hindering you from having that deep, intimate relationship that he wants to have with you? Maybe Denise can help you, because she's been there. Make sure you reach out to her and see how she can help you. She said, hey, if you have questions, I'm here to help. And she's also doing her podcast called Hope in Christ Ministries. She talked about how she's going to have each week be a different focus, where you talk about health, talk about opportunities, talk about perfection, and then talk about edification, hope. I think I said it wrong just now, but you can definitely contact her on Facebook and she'll get it to you right. But go ahead and contact her, because she can definitely help you in what you're trying to do. One thing she said too, she said, do it afraid. Go ahead and pick up the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this special edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.